Today, I told you this sermon is Tim Unfiltered. And so let me start with a preface to jumping into some things. Number one, the things I'm going to be talking about is COVID, Jesus, and you. I am not a doctor, nor a nurse, nor a scientist. So you're going to be hearing Tim's opinion. I always try to preface when it's Tim's opinion. You're going to be hearing Tim's opinion connected to some truths that I'm hoping will open our eyes, okay? But I need to start the conversation that if I offend you, I apologize in advance. That's not my intent, but I might. I might offend some people. I might offend some of you watching online right now, sitting on your couches. But that is okay. Sometimes we need to learn and understand how to receive offense and then show grace or listen to the truth attached to something that might offend us or rub us in a wrong way. But I just wanted to preface, some of this is Tim's opinion, all right? Is everybody with me? Yep. Everybody online? Okay. All right, so let's jump into it. Tim Unfiltered. Let me start with this question. What is something that you are afraid of? Is it just anything that you're afraid of? I know there's some people, let's do a show of hands maybe a little bit, okay? Is there anybody here who is afraid of spiders? Do we have any spider haters in the house, right? So you're the ones that shout and yell for somebody else to kill the thing, right? You're like, ah! Now, that you're lucky you live in Ohio, not like Arizona, where spiders get this big, right? At that point, I would scream, right? We have anybody who's afraid of heights? We got people afraid of heights, right? Anybody afraid of depth? That's afraid of being buried alive or something like that, right? Like afraid of being underground. Tight spaces, anybody with claustrophobia? You hate being in tight spaces, right? We got some of you afraid of that. Any of you afraid of large groups? Public speaking? That's probably a lot of people, like public speaking. So I'm going to find some of you afraid of that. I'm going to make you say something next Sunday from the stage. Sound good? Because the best way to get over fear is to do it, right? Maybe you're afraid of looking foolish. Some people have some deep fears about illnesses and possibly getting an illness. Some people are deeply afraid of death. And that's something that just captures their thoughts and makes them think about it all the time. See, in this season that we're in right now and have been in for the last 7 months, there have been so many ups and downs, mostly downs, right? With little bitty peaks of, okay, I see some, it's been crazy in this season. And I think this season in this pandemic, I think there's something worse than COVID that has been going on. And I would call it more of a fear-demic than a pandemic. And I'm going to explain why here in just a minute. I think that fear has been the ruler in our culture, in our society, in our own personal lives, and that fear has done way more damage than COVID ever has. And now, again, I said I might offend you because I know some people have been affected by COVID. I know some families have. I know there's been loss of life, and some of you have lost some family members because of COVID. And so I'm not diminishing that, okay, as I talk this morning. But I do believe that fear has been way more powerful of a force than the actual COVID-19 virus. I actually was reading an article. Some of you know Dr. Amy Acton, who, you know, was a part of a lot of decisions, and some of you have opinions about that. I don't care, but here's what I know is that she just wrote an article this week that I read that she made that proclamation saying, I don't think COVID was the big deal. I think fear is the issue. And she took a different role with a different organization to actually combat that rather than COVID. I'm like, okay, if somebody who knew and is in the center and knows all of the inside things is saying that is a bigger deal, I think my antenna should be up. Whatever I think politically, okay? But I have a different fear for those who are Christians. Because I've seen in this season and this morning, if you're not a Christ follower this morning, you get to listen in, okay? If you're not a Christian, you didn't buy into this, you're not like, I don't know this whole church thing, you get to listen in on a conversation, okay? Because right now I'm talking to the Christians in the house or outside of the house and in your seats at home. I'm just going to have a frank conversation with those who call themselves believers because my fear for them has been that this season has proven where their hope is. And where their hope is not. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul was talking, and this is what resonated with me this week as I was working on this. This is what he said. He said, "But I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ." I think that's what's been going on. I think the enemy has been straying Christ followers away slowly in such a way that their devotion to Christ and his church has wandered off. That's a fear I wrestle with in this season. Now, before I keep going, let me tell you this. I had a different sermon plan for this weekend. Like I had different notes, and we have a teaching team here at New Hope. There's a group of us that get together on Tuesday mornings, and that group of people, it's Nikki and Jim and Tony and Dominic and Sam is in there, and myself, and we talk about the messages, we talk about how it went, and then what we're talking about next. And just so you know, they told me I have to preach the sermon. So blame them, all right, is what I'm saying. Because I had a different message. Like, no, Tim, we need to hear this. The church needs to hear this. We all need to hear what needs to be said. And so as a team, as leaders in our church, this message isn't just from Tim, it's from us. Because these are the fears and the things that we've seen that's like, somebody's got to say something. And so I get the pleasure and the joy of being the mouthpiece. Sometimes I get to be the one that brings joy. And sometimes I have to act as the prophet that says, watch out. And today I'm the prophet who has to say, watch out. Maybe you've wandered away and let fear control you in a way that has been dangerous. My fear is that Satan is deceiving and dividing believers, that people in Christ followers are letting emotions and insecurities rule their life. And so let's talk about some truth, okay? I want to talk about COVID first, okay? Because I studied this and then I got ticked off, okay? So maybe you'll get ticked off with me. I don't know. That's just where I'm at this morning. Because I looked at the actual numbers of what's happening with COVID in our state and in our county. Now, those of you who are watching in other states, other counties, other places, this isn't for you. These are the numbers for us right here where we live, okay? So I know different states and different places, like New York City, obviously, their experience was completely different than ours. Right? A lot of these city places where there's a lot of population, they got different experience than ours where we're at. But I need to talk to us where we are right now in Wayne County and in Worcester. See, in Ohio, the current population in Ohio is 11.73 million people. Okay? It's a lot of people. There have been 4,623 deaths from COVID in Ohio. So in Ohio, the chance of you getting COVID and dying is 0.04%. You have a 99.96% chance of surviving COVID. Now let me get to Wayne County, because Wayne County has had 68 deaths. And we have a population of 115,000 people in our county. And in our county, with that percentage, the likelihood of you getting COVID and dying is 0.05%. It's 0.05. You have a 99.95% chance of recovering and getting over it if you get COVID in Wayne County. So this is our backyard, people. Now, if you're under 70, there have only been 16 deaths for those under 70 in Wayne County. So your survival rate is 99.99% if you're under 70 years old. Why are we acting like we're all going to die? That's what I'm saying. I'm getting ticked off. Because I think fear, the fear-demic has been greater than the pandemic has ever been. Now, I know some of you right now, I'm going to get opinionated here in just a minute. Well, I already am. So some of you may think, well, Tim, the only reason that's been is because, you know, everybody's quarantined. Everybody's done this. And I'm like, no, you haven't. How many of you have gone to Walmart? How many of you have had to buy groceries? How many of you are now going to work? How many kids are going to school? How many of you went to the fair? How many of you are living life? Like, the reality is we are still doing all the things we would normally do. Now, I know some of you are like, but Tim, I'm not, because I have a family member and they're very, you know, they do have health issues. Listen, I'm not talking to you, okay? Because I know that. I know there's moments where you have to be protective, those that work in the healthcare industry. That's why I said, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a scientist. This is Tim's opinion. But what I do know, even with people doing that, these are still the real numbers. These are still the real realities that we are dealing with in our county. And we are still allowing fear to be the ruler of our lives, even as Christians and Christ followers. Something is wrong. Something is wrong. Let me give you some other numbers. So there's a lot of things that kill people. Just so you know, the death rate for humans is 100%. We are all going to die. People don't like that conversation. But that is the truth. And if you don't know what you're doing when that happens, then you're actually avoiding a reality. Something happens when you die. Something happens when you have Jesus, and something happens when you don't have him. That's a reality we all are going to have to face at one point. There's a 100% chance for all of us, unless Jesus returns beforehand, we'll experience death. And we're all going to die from different things, and that's just true. But let me give you some numbers. The numbers I could find were from 2017 in Ohio. 28,000 people died from heart disease in Ohio. You're 6 times more likely to die of heart disease than COVID. Why isn't there a heart disease pandemic? Cancer, 25,643 people died from cancer. 8,971 died from just accidents. 7,300 from respiratory diseases. 6,400 from strokes. 5,100 from Alzheimer's. 5,100 from drug overdoses. Number 8 on the list is COVID with 4,600 people. Diabetes is next with 3,700. The flu is number 10 with 2,200 in Ohio. So yeah, if you get the flu, you have less chance of dying, but it's very, very minute. So you have twice the chance as flu if you get COVID. Something's wrong. Am I right? Something's wrong. And I'm not here to bash politics. This is not a political conversation. I'm not here to talk about, like, you know, media, because, I'm here to talk about us Christians. Something is wrong. Because then we have people who are waiting for a vaccine to come out, right? Like, maybe then I'll leave my house, or maybe then I'll go back to church, a worship gathering with other Christians. Maybe then, let me give you some truth on those numbers, just to continue to debunk some stuff. So like the flu vaccine we get every year, people get the flu vaccine every year. The chance of the flu vaccine working is between 40 and 60%. You basically have a 50-50 chance that flu vaccine is going to be effective. How well do you think the COVID vaccine is going to be? Is it going to be 99%? That's been like spit out there real quick and tested real quick? I think it's going to be less than. So even if we all get vaccines, we still have a 50-50 chance of getting it. But some of you are going to pretend like, well, I got it, so I'm good. Ugh. Who told you to be afraid? Who told you to be afraid? Was it God? Was it the media? Was it politicians? Was it somebody trying to sell you something? I don't think it was God. Because when I read my scriptures, I see all throughout, over and over and over again, two words that God says to those when they're afraid. Fear not. Why? Because he is with us. Even when we get COVID. Now, I'm just going to say this. Our whole staff got COVID. We're doing just fine. We're over it. 2 weeks of quarantine, back at it. Here we go. And you know, I'm glad we all got it so we can just go through the winter. Here we go. Let's live life and get over this junk. Like, ugh. I know family members that I've had that got it, got over it. Now they're living life. Now, I know some of you do have family members who got it and didn't make it. And that breaks our hearts. I mean, death and loss is hard. And so again, I'm not trying to like belittle those realities when people have died. But maybe we're more afraid that they died than where they went. Did we share hope with them? Did they know Jesus because we were in their life? Or did we just let them die? That's why it's called live hope and give hope. If we're not giving hope, we're really not living it. We don't have it. Our hope is in something else. Our hope might be, maybe for some of us, our hope is that things will go back to normal. I'm going to tell you something. It's never going back to your old normal. It's not. Some of you are like, as soon as the election's done, we're going back to mm-mm. See, the reality with pandemics is it's got to run its course. We got another year and a half of this. We got another year and a half of figuring out what's going on and the disease continuing to do its thing. Like, this isn't going to end real quick. And so if we're thinking, I just want to get back to my normal, you're going to be waiting a long time and you're going to lose a lot of life in the process if you're walking in fear during this season. We have to choose personally as Christians. What do we do in the midst of COVID with Jesus in our lives? Because if we don't make that decision now, we're just going to keep coasting. My fear is that you will be led astray and that you'll walk away from the things that God wants for you to have in your life to grow as a Christ follower. And you'll lose your first love in Jesus. Because I'm seeing it happen over and over and over again. Who told you to be afraid? I want to talk to those who are New Hope people who are online right now. We, and all of us, honestly, all of us, I'm just going to continue to be unfiltered. As a church body, you guys know as leaders, and me personally, have done everything we possibly could at each time we had a transition to create a healthy and safe space for everybody to meet. I mean, the crazy creative things we try to do so that we can still gather together to where when it first started, we all went online because we had to. And so the quality of what we put into and the time we put into making sure that gathering and that experience was excellent. And then saying, let's get crazy and let's put the team on top of a roof of a high school and let's buy our FM transmitter and let's say we're doing drive-in church. Let's make it happen. So we did that for Easter and we did it for Mother's Day to make that happen. And then finally we said, we're going to start gathering together here. And the amount of time, you guys don't understand, the amount of time we had a team of people to try to create two safe venues for people in our building, completely redoing our basement student center, moving a cafe and opening it up so there could be a touch-free experience and that there could be a regular, you know, worship experience on the main floor. And then finally opening those doors and starting to meet. And then our family goes on vacation, come homes, and the governor says, now everybody has to wear masks. And I go, oh, crap. Because as a leader, I'm like, a lot of these people aren't going to like it, and they're not going to show up. I know it's ridiculous, but they're not going to show up. Any excuse that the enemy can use to keep people from other Christ followers, he will use. And I think that's what he's done. And so finally we said, no, we're going outside now. Let's do it. And now we've been doing this every week. This is a lot of work every week, guys. You guys don't know what all happens. This is a lot of work. What I'm saying is this. You guys have a church team and a church leader that have bent over backwards to accommodate everyone. And yet still, yeah, you can clap for that. That's for everybody. And still, even in our accommodations, still people have lived in fear and not shown up and not been present. And it hurts. Let me use this illustration. I don't know if you've ever thrown a party. And in this party, you're getting really excited because you wanted to invite your best friends over. And so you start putting things together and you start ordering the right food and you're excited about what we're going to make that evening. And you get the right playlist on your Spotify and you're going to have awesome background music and you have a game that you want to play with everybody. And you get everything ready for this giant party and you send out the invites. And when it finally comes to that night and everybody shows up, only half of the people you invited ended up coming, even though all of them said they were a part. How would you feel? Pretty bummed, huh? That's the way our leadership feels. We hurt because we want to see our church. We want to see our body together. We want to see Christians united together as Christ followers without fear, with no excuse, in the presence, bonded one to another, because that is the church. That's what it is. The church isn't a building. It's not a location. It is people together. That's the church. And so we want to speak to those that don't show up and say, we miss you. We genuinely miss you. We want to see you. We want you to be with us. We want you to gather. And we don't want fear to be the controller in your life any longer. And the excuse attached to the fear whatever that might be. Be a part of the body and don't let the enemy put lies in your head to keep you separate. I'm going to talk to the parents for a minute. I said, I'm going unfiltered, so here we go. Parents, when you don't show up and you don't include your kids in church and in ministry, what are you communicating to your kids? Is God a priority or not? They're going to know by your actions, not by your words. That's how kids work. They see what you do way more than they hear what you say. And so for a few, if you don't show up, you're telling your kids, it's not really that important. Well, we do it every now and then. We may show up, you know, once every 6 weeks or 8 weeks. And I'm just letting you know, when your kid's 18 and they're out of the house, they're not going to go at all. And God may not be a part of their life. They're watching. So, parents, what are you saying to your kids during this season? Are you telling them, be afraid? Are you telling them, don't do that and don't do this? Are you telling them, our hope is in Christ? He is the anchor of our life and nothing else matters. What are you telling them? What are you telling them? Now, I feel like, I said I'm being unfiltered. I feel like I have the equity in our church as a gracious communicator, as a loving pastor, as someone who continually just tries to teach us to now bring a hard word and say, it's time to change. It's time to change. Now, as I'm saying this, as I'm preaching, I know some of you, I know that some of you are over here and you're like, amen, Tim, right on, Tim, yeah, Tim. Like, you're like on the side and you're like, yeah, COVID's a lie, those jerks, ta-da. You know, it's like, you're like with me, right? You're like, ta, you know. Now, here's the thing, here's my fear, is that either we swing over here and we're like all in over here, or we swing way over here and it's like, I don't want to listen to that. And I'm controlled by fear and I don't agree with what he's saying. And we have this divide where one group of people actually ends up judging another group of people. And this is the fear for me, that the enemy has used the culture, a fear-demic, politics to divide Christians. He's doing a great job at it right now. And so even when a pastor's preaching, I can feel that and that tension that exists. So this morning is an equal offense opportunity. All right? Is everybody okay with that? Okay. Are you all with me? If you are, say yep. Okay, because I'm going to keep going. Because for us, you know, we have people on the other side that says it's all a lie, COVID's a lie, and, you know, we don't have to wear masks, and you're taking my freedoms, and da-da-da-da-da, and they, like, go way far to another side. I'm going to say I believe God is somewhere in the middle of all of it. I don't think he ever takes anybody's side, okay? I think God is always in the middle. And so when we look at Scripture, okay, because this is what we wrestle with as pastors, when we look at Scripture, we have to answer the question, well, then where do we as Christ followers, where do we as a church, where do we as leaders stand? And so I want us to get into God's Word so you guys understand where we and God's Word stands, okay? So if you have a Bible, we're getting in out of Tim's opinion now, okay? And now we're getting into God's Word, which is truth. 1 Peter, if you want to turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 13, okay? So you can pull up your Bible app. If you have an actual Bible, you can open that. It might blow around a little bit. We're going to read a passage that challenges all of us, okay? That gives us something that we as Christians should be doing and how we should be responding in this season. All right. So if you're with me in 1 Peter, everybody say, yep. All right. Let me take a drink and then I'll read it together. 1 Peter 2, starting in verse 13, says this. It says, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, But do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God and honor the emperor. This is an interesting passage, isn't it? I don't know if you've ever read this one before. See, we read stuff like this as leaders, as pastors. We read this stuff and we go, what should we do? Sometimes we think that there's a lot of gray areas in Scripture, and there are some areas where we can have differences of opinion, right? There's areas that we can have a discussion theologically. But when I read this passage, it's pretty blunt. There's not a lot of gray in this passage, right? And there's some things, and you can write these down on your notes if you want to follow along, that we are called as Christians to do. At the very beginning of verse 13, it's this word, submit. Who loves that word? Right? None of us, really. I mean, when we hear that word, it's like, it sounds oppressive. What do you mean, submit? That means somebody's over me or somebody's controlling me. And the reality is all of us have somebody over us all the time. That's how life goes. There are always authorities in our life. No matter how high up you get, I have authorities in my life. We all have authorities. And as Christians, we're called to submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every human authority. That's a challenging verse. There are some that are over here on this COVID thing, and it becomes political, and it becomes like, well, I'm not going to wear a mask. You can't make me wear a mask. It's my freedoms, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. No matter what the governor says, right? Like, they just have this attitude of like, no. And I'm going to say, as a Christian, you're wrong because of this. We are called by Christ, by God, to submit ourselves to every human authority for the Lord's sake. Whether it's the emperor or the supreme authority or to governors, it says it in there, guys. We're supposed to. So I'll tell you our stance as a church. If the government tells us that we ought to do something, and it is for the health and benefit of the community we live in, and if it's not causing us to sin, we will do it. That's how we have to operate. For us to not do it is to say, well, we're going to really not look at this passage, and it's not really for us. And this is a tricky one right now. And we were having this conversation this week. Is it okay if I say this stuff, Jim? He's nodding his head, so I'm saying it. Like, we had this difficult conversation because we're like, okay, masks. For us, we require us to wear masks when we gather together in our building because that's the mandate right now, even for religious gatherings. And so next week, we're going to be gathering together inside because I'm figuring you don't want to be out here in 40-degree weather. We're going to be in there with the heat on, and we're going to worship at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m., and we're going to ask you to wear a mask inside because that right now is the mandate from the governor because we follow God's word, and we want to obey it. If they're not telling us to sin, it's okay. Why would I make a mask limit the gospel's work? I'm not going to do that. Now, I told you, it's equal offense opportunity this morning. He says, submit to and honor authorities. Honor means to give weight to. Honor means to respect, right? It means to, whatever it comes down from authorities in my life, I'm going to give it weight in my life. I'm going to follow those decisions. Whether I agree or disagree, I'm going to honor them. And then he continues to say, he says, the whole point of those authorities is to punish those who do wrong and commend those that do right, for it is God's will. If I ask you, if you want to know what God's will is, you would say, you say yes. All right. If you want to know what God's will is, you say yes. Of course, we want to know what God's will is. And this passage is very clear. It is God's will to, and then he tells us what it is God's will to. He said, it is God's will that by doing good, we silence ignorant talk and foolish people. By us doing good, we're doing God's will. By us obeying authorities in our life, we are doing God's will. So I'd ask the question, are you in or out of God's will with the decisions you're making currently in your life? We are called to do good as Christians. That's why this is live hope and give hope, because we're supposed to do good. We're supposed to do the good things we're called to do. We're not supposed to sit on our hands and not do things. We're supposed to get off of them and do the good things all around us every day to those who are with us so that we silence the ignorant talk and foolish people, meaning we represent Christ well. We represent the kingdom of heaven well as Christians. When people see us, they see heaven. They see God. And my question is, when they see you, do they see what they would like to have in heaven? Because it's God's will for us to look like that, to look like heaven here on earth, to do good, to respect others, respect others. This one is one that's getting torn apart in our country. People don't know how to respect each other. They don't know how to respect each other's differences of opinion. They don't know how to disagree agreeably. They know how to have an opinion and then point at the other group. It's interesting. I was watching a special on PBS, and yes, I'm a nerd. And it was talking about how social media has changed our culture over the years and how polarizing social media has made us as a people. Because what we look for is people that think like us. And so when we have an idea, we find that people have the same idea as I have, and then we create a group around that. And whenever you have a group like that, there always has to be another group who doesn't have the same ideas as you. And it's polarizing. And so that's what our culture's created, and us as Christians just jump right into the party. It's like, we're not supposed to. We're supposed to respect each other. If you're a Democrat, I respect you. If you're a Republican, I respect you. We all have differences of opinion. We all have our own choices. But we're not talking about that today. But what I am talking about is we have to choose to respect even when we disagree. I'm still going to love you as a person. I'm still going to talk to you. I'm not going to let anger or fear or anything else bubble up. I'm going to choose to love you, even though we may not see eye to eye on things. Respect, submit and honor authorities, do good, respect others. And then he says, love the family of believers. It is God's will for you to love the family of believers. This one does not fit in today's American Christianity. We love the family of believers when it is convenient for us to be with them. That's not what Christianity is. Christianity is the family of believers. It is connected in relationship. It is finding a group of people that you can do life with that helps you grow. And you can do good together and one for another and spur each other on. Like, that is the church. And we're called as Christians to love that, to love the family. It is God's will for you to love the church family. And I don't think that love is just like a good feeling. I think it's in action. Last week, Dom talked about how I said, so I'm repeating me after he repeated me, is that faith, hope, and love. Faith leads to hope. Hope leads to love, and love is always an action. It's not a feeling. If you love the family of Christ, what are you doing with it? What are you doing with us? How are you connecting? And how are you growing? Are you in a small group of people? That's why we have small groups, so you can experience life together. How are you being challenged when you're out of line biblically? How are you being challenged when life is going sideways? Who is encouraging you when hope seems lost? Like, that's the body of Christ. That's what we're called to be for one another. Submit to and honor authorities. Do good. Respect others. Love the church. And then he ends with fear God and honor the emperor. See, the only thing that we're supposed to fear is God himself. Nothing else. And some of you are like, well, that sounds weird. We're not supposed to fear anything. What does it mean by fear God? See, this fear is a different fear. This fear is a standing in awe and wonder of his greatness, power, mighty presence. It's standing in a just like in awe of all of who he is. That's the fear of the Lord. It's worship in his presence. It's understanding the magnitude of his grace for you. He says, fear God. And the amazing thing is that when we fear him, he loves us. And he's with us. It doesn't work the same way as fear in this world works. It changes our perspective. And when we start to do this, when we start to submit to and honor authorities, when we start to do good every single day to those around us, when we start to respect others, even if they have a different opinion than mine, and then when we love the church and we're connected to the body of Christ and we're actually being active in it, not just separate from it, being divided from and cast off. Let me just, okay, hold on a second. here's something for you. Here's a passage of scripture that always gets me going. Is when scripture talks about the body of Christ, that the body, you know, Jesus is the head and the church is his body. We represent Jesus. He's in control. And he says, what is the body without a hand? What is a body without an eye or loss of a limb? It's missing something. And he's like, whenever somebody says they're a Christian, but they're disconnected from the body, I say they're dead meat. If I cut my arm off and it just lays out in the field for the rest of the week, my arm is dead meat. And that's what happens when we separate ourselves from the body of Christ. We separate ourselves from the head of Christ at the same time. It's a dangerous place to go. The enemy is looking for someone to devour. And that's who he looks for. It's easy for a lion to hunt down dead meat because it ain't moving. I don't want you to be there, Christian. Satan wants you to be there. The world wants you to be there. God doesn't want you to be there. He wants you to be a part, to be connected. Love the church and fear God. When we do these things, this is how we live in actual hope. And this is how we start to give hope to other people. So for all of us, here's my questions. What are you putting your hope in? Are you putting your hope in everything to go back to normal? That is a failing hope. That is an anchor in shallow water sand. That is not in the deep waters of God, to the solid depths of the ocean. Are you putting your hope in your health? Are you putting your hope in not being in public? Are you putting your hope in not getting COVID? Are you putting your hope in a vaccine that's going to come? Are you putting your hope? What are you putting your hope in? But I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Let me finish with this, Hebrews chapter 10. Again, we can't argue with Scripture. I mean, for us as Christians, it's truth. The other stuff's Tim's opinion. This, we can't argue with. Hebrews 10 says this to all of us. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. Unswervingly. If an obstacle comes in the way, we're plowing through it. If something hits us in life, boom, we're going right through it. We are unswervingly holding on to the hope we profess. Why? Listen carefully. For he who promised is faithful. Amen? For he who promises faithful. That's why we hold on to the hope. It's not our authorities are faithful. It's not Pastor Tim is faithful. It's not what I think because it's going to happen is faithful. No, God is the one who is faithful. That is the hope we profess. Verse 24 says, and let us then consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Have you ever been spurred? I just always get the picture of a cowboy in my mind. Seen an old Western with a cowboy on, and he's got these boots, and then ka-ching, ka-ching, every step he takes, and he's got these giant spurs on the back of each of his boots. And those aren't there just to be intimidating when he's about to shoot somebody, right? Those are there for when he's riding that horse, and that horse is not going as fast or where he wants it to go. Oh, here we go. And that cowboy spurs that horse to say, we're going. We're going this way, and we're going fast. Let us consider how we can spur one another on towards love and good deeds. That's where we should be going fast. Love and good deeds. Verse 25, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another and all the more as you see the capital D day approaching. That capital D day is when Jesus returns. That's when God puts everything back in order the way he designed it to be. what was in the garden before sin will be in eternity with him forever when that day comes. That's where our hope is. That's where our eternal hope is. It's not in this temporary thing. And so we are called by God's will to not give up meeting together, but encouraging one another all the more, not less. Not less. I'm wondering if Jesus was actually coming back right now, would you just stay in your house by yourself? Because you're afraid now of something that's going to come and go. Or are you as a Christian going to actually run towards the other Christians? And are you going to celebrate with one another? Are you going to encourage one another? Are you going to be spurring each other on? Which one will you do? That day's going to come. I don't know how long I had said, and it was ironic, I didn't realize it was prophetic, there will come a time when we can't meet together. And I didn't know what that meant. For years I said that. And here it came. And it's going to prove who's going to run towards Christ and who's going to avoid and run away. This is a hard word. But we all need to hear it. I don't want to pastor a church of a bunch of weak Christians who run away when the fight gets hard. I want to pastor a church full of Christian warriors who, when God gives us the call, we step up and we do good and we love. And we're going to be challenged to do that in the next coming weeks in real and practical ways. And we'll see what God does and we'll see how we all respond. But I think it's a time for us to test and see where God is in our lives and what he wants us to do. God, this is a hard word, and I'm tired. But we know that your word never returns void. It always does what it wants to do, and it always accomplishes what it wants to. And I pray, God, if there's any offense this morning with anybody listening, that the offense would be with your word, not with me, and that they'd have to wrestle with your word and scripture, not with Tim's opinion. And I pray, God, that for all of us, we would be challenged over this next year to choose how we're going to respond. Are we going to keep making excuses? Are we going to let other things be more important? Are we going to choose other things in our life to put our hope in other than you? Or are we going to choose you? God, I don't know when you're coming back. Nobody does. I mean, my prayer is that it's soon, because there's a lot of hell on earth and we need some heaven. But I know before you come, you've told us as Christians to be heaven on earth. You've told us to love, to do good deeds and to represent you well. And I pray, God, whatever each of us individually needs to do that, that you would challenge us to do it, that we would see with your eyes this week, that you would open our eyes to see where you want us to love somebody, where you want us to reach out to somebody, where you want us to spur another Christian on towards thinking biblically, where you want us to run towards you when we think we're running towards fear. Lead us, God, with the presence of your Spirit, and that we would be Christ followers who run towards it and not away. I just want to ask us a few questions as we wrap up. I know this whole thing's been a challenge, this whole message. But I think you do need to answer the question for yourself. What are you putting your hope in? What are you actually putting your hope in? How have you ran away from God instead of running towards him in your life? That's the obedient question. Like, where are you disobedient to God in your life? We expect God's blessing and work, but then we go against him. It doesn't work that way. Where do you need to repent? Where do you need to walk towards him in a new way? And for those of you in listening to this message, and you're not a Christian, you're like, dang, that's why I don't want to be a Christian. If that's the way they behave, I don't blame you. If you've met Christians that don't look like Christ, I'm sorry. But I need you to know who Christ is. See, God loved you so much. He died on the cross. He sent his son, Jesus, to die on the cross to pay for your sin, all of us. And he didn't just die. He rose again 3 days later and conquered death itself so we can experience forgiveness and righteousness. We are made right in the presence of God. So the good news is all of us that screw up, we are forgiven. Isn't that good news? All of us that don't do things right, we're still under God's grace. But if you don't know Christ, you're not. You're not justified before God. So maybe today you need to accept Christ. You need to answer the question, when that 100% chance of your death comes, where you're going to go after? Whose presence will you be in? Because the only way to God is through Jesus alone. And if you want to take that step, I'm going to pray in a moment. I'm going to pray for all of us. If you need to take that step, you can pray with me and invite Christ in your life, confess your sin, and be invited into a relationship with God. And it comes with confessing and believing in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God. So if you want to do that this morning, I'm going to pray. You can pray with me and you can say these words to God. So let's pray all together, church. You can say, God, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross and to pay for my sin. I know I need forgiven. I want eternal life with you in heaven forever, God. And so I invite Jesus into my heart. I'm going to repent. I want to turn away from my old self. I want to look more like Christ. So please forgive me and give me your Holy Spirit. Invite you in right now. Please give me your peace for now and forever. And I just ask and confess this only in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And God, for all of us, let your word produce what it wants. Let our hearts and our spirits be convicted when we need to. And let us live in truth, not lies, as we live as Christians, as Christ followers, above anything else. We just thank you for this in Christ's name. Everybody said amen. Amen.